You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Happy Monday, everybody. Happy NBA training camp opening week, kind of. I mean, individual workouts start this week. Apparently, COVID-19 testing began over the weekend for teams, and facilities are opening for individual workouts, I believe, Tuesday the 1st, and then team workouts begin over the weekend early next week, and the first preseason games are like 2 weeks from... No, 1 week from Friday, I believe, is when preseason opens. The Wolves' first game is a week from Saturday, December the 12th. What I want to do today is I'll quickly hit the preseason schedule, which was released by the NBA at the end of last week. So I'll talk through what that schedule looks like, just in case you hadn't seen it. And then also talk through some player movement. The Wolves did add a training camp player, and then some old friends, recent and I guess... Well, no, actually, a bunch of guys who were on the team last year have all found new homes. So I want to talk through those just a little bit to update everyone on that. And then just kind of talk about the power forward situation moving forward. There was an article on Bleacher Report about one trade for every NBA team, one trade idea. And I think this is going to be kind of a consistent theme over the next several weeks and months is who's the long-term answer at the four for the Timberwolves? Is it Juancho Hernangómez, who signed a two-year deal with the team option for a third year? Is it Jared Vanderbilt? Is it Jaden McDaniels? Is it somebody that the Wolves have not yet acquired, which I think is the most obvious answer? But who could that be? If the Wolves are still star hunting, if they're looking for somebody who could help them become a true candidate to squeak into the playoffs this year. So I want to touch on that here today as well. And that'll be kind of a consistent theme over the coming weeks. Before all that, though, as always, a quick reminder to subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you prefer to get your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Also, a reminder, this is a daily show, Monday through Friday. So we'll have five shows for you today. We'll have five shows most weeks here in the month of December. So be sure to be subscribed and don't miss out as things are happening quickly. We're like 2 weeks away from our initial preview shows before the games start happening. So make sure you're subscribed and you stay up to date here with really what's a quick hitting, but yet in-depth podcast here on a daily basis for you at Locked On Wolves. All right, quickly here off the top, the preseason schedule. So the NBA preseason starts on December 11th, which is a week from this coming Friday. And all teams have at least two games, a max of four games, and all teams have one home game and one away game. Gone are those kind of weird neutral site games that allowed regional fans, you know, the Wolves would play in Kansas City or South Dakota or Iowa or whatever, to try and get some fans from other areas the chance to see the team. But obviously that's not happening this year. So the Wolves have three games on the calendar. The first one is Saturday the 12th. So a week from this coming Saturday, they host the Memphis Grizzlies at Target Center at 7 p.m. And then two nights later, the same thing on Monday the 14th, the Wolves will host the Grizzlies again at Target Center. I haven't seen this anywhere. I searched for an explanation. I guess the easiest explanation, and I'm sure we'll get word here soon from the team, but I'm sure this is to cut down on travel. I'm sure that the league is just going to say, hey, Grizzlies, hang out in the Twin Cities for 48 hours and isolate or whatever the protocols are going to be, similar to what Major League Baseball did this year, and just play again at Target Center 48 hours later and then head home. No idea. This is just me speculating. If the schedules this year are going to include longer homestands or... maybe more home and home type series at the end or at the beginning of a homestand, the end of a road trip where, you know, last year the Wolves played in Utah and two nights later the Jazz were at Target Center. Maybe there's more of that because in theory you're contacting the same opposing team or not in theory, you are. So in theory there's less concern for transmission of the virus or whatever, who knows? I'm speculating, but maybe we'll see more of that this year. So at any rate, two games against the Grizzlies in 48 hours at Target Center. And then three nights after that, I believe is a Thursday the 17th, will be the Dallas Mavericks. The Wolves will travel down I-35 to Dallas to play the Mavericks at American Airlines Center at 7:30 p.m. on the 17th. So three preseason games for the Wolves, two at home, one on the road, and that game is on the 17th. We know that the season kicks off on December 22nd. We don't yet have the Timberwolves schedule, so we don't know if they play on the 22nd or the 23rd. Probably more likely it's the 23rd. So they'll have 5 or 6 days off in between their final preseason game and the first regular season game. So we also don't yet know which teams are going to be able to have fans in their arenas. The league had said They were anticipating, it sounded like 5 to 10 teams might be able to have some level of fans in arena. The Timberwolves had said that they're going to start the year with no fans in arena, which makes sense given the situation in the Twin Cities right now, the COVID-19 situation. So TBD on whether or not there will be fans, you know, which arenas I guess will have fans to start the season, but that'll be something to keep an eye on. So moving from preseason, just a quick spin around some of the recent former Timberwolves who have found new homes. If you didn't catch all this, end of last week, Kata Bates Diop signed a two-way deal with the San Antonio Spurs. He had been released by the Nuggets. The Nuggets converted Bol Bol from a two-way contract to a regular deal on their roster, and then they signed a couple of other players to two-way deals and allowed Bates Diop to walk. KBD quickly signed a contract with the Spurs as a two-way player. So he goes from having a partially guaranteed deal as a second rounder with the Wolves and Nuggets to the Spurs. He feels like a very Spursy player, kind of a rangy guy with a big wingspan, not super athletic, good at a lot of things, not great at any. So the Spurs are going to take a flyer on him as a two-way player. And that's actually a good fit for him. Obviously, it'd be great for him if he was on a guaranteed deal on a roster, but he's the type of guy who can plug in and play solid minutes. There's probably still not a ton of upside. Remember, he was an older prospect when he came into the league, but he's with the Spurs on a two-way deal. The also announced in the last really 24 hours, Evan Turner is going to be an assistant coach at the Celtics. I'm lumping him in as a former Wolf, despite the fact I don't think he ever set foot in the state of Minnesota while the Wolves held his rights. I know he wasn't at the press conference and the Wolves tried to buy him out. That never materialized. But now as his contract, his massive $17 million deal or whatever it was has expired, he is now joining the Boston Celtics as an assistant coach. And then Noah Vonleh has signed a non-guaranteed deal with the Chicago Bulls for training camp, but it becomes guaranteed on opening night. So clearly he negotiated that in to know, you know, he's not going to be, he's going to know by opening night if he needs to find a new home. But the Bulls have a little bit of, you know, they could use some front court depth. And so Vonleh may find a home there. I think he's kind of had a poor last 12 months because he played pretty well for the Knicks before he came to Minnesota. He got kind of a weird, I don't know that I want to call it the short end of the stick in Minnesota because he had some real shooting limitations that weren't ideal for what the Wolves are trying to do offensively, but he's a solid player, a good defender and a decent rebounder and deserves to be in a rotation somewhere. So hopefully he stays with the Bulls or can find a job elsewhere. And then also Keelan Martin signed a two-way deal with the Indiana Pacers. He had not officially, I suppose the Wolves rescinded his qualifying offer. And so Keelan Martin was an unrestricted free agent. He was the only Wolves player that had a qualifying offer that Minnesota then pulled back. He signed a two-way deal with the Pacers. Obviously, this is a depth situation. We talked about this last week when they pulled the qualifying offer. But the Wolves already had a bunch of wings on the team. You add Anthony Edwards, you add Ricky Rubio, who's going to play with D'Angelo Russell and move Russell to the two guard. And, you know, not to mention Jalen Noel, who's got some upside on a partially guaranteed deal. And, you know, there's kind of a roster crunch at the wing spot, which is interesting that the Wolves are suddenly finding themselves in that position. And so Martin walked and he signed a two-way deal with the Pacers, who of course are very good last year. So we'll see what kind of opportunity he gets for a team. You know, they'll have a new coach in Indiana and a lot of the same roster, but it'll be a little bit different. He'll probably get some opportunity as a two-way player there. So good for Keelan to latch on. I figured he would get another shot given his defensive chops, his size, his wingspan, in theory, his shooting, which was good in the G League, but never materialized at the NBA level last year. But he had some solid minutes in Minnesota and obviously wish him well. The Wolves did make a signing themselves. I want to talk about that next. It's a training camp signing, so it may or may not turn into anything beyond the next couple of weeks, seeing him in uniform with the team. But I want to talk about the player the Wolves signed and then move on to talk about the trade market and one player in particular mentioned in this Bleacher Report article that I mentioned earlier. Before we do that, though, let's talk about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar of all time. There were already 12 original flavors that were fantastic. They've somehow made the best tasting protein bar of all time even more delicious by adding 6 new flavors, adjusting the formula, new packaging, new logo, all the good stuff. 6 brand new flavors, caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Built Bar is a protein bar that's covered in 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew, and tastes exactly like a candy bar. It's great if you're health conscious, if you're trying to lose weight, or maybe maintain your weight while still indulging in a delicious treat that, again, It tastes like a candy bar. Right now, for a limited time only, you can get a free cooler with your purchase, but only while supplies last. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Of course, coming up later this week, we'll be talking training camp. I mean, we should start to get some content from the team here related to players showing up, individual workouts. I don't know what kind of access they'll allow early in the process, given all the protocols and things that they're going to have to do. But we're going to talk through all this on the show, of course, later this week. So stay tuned for that as things ramp up. We're within 2 weeks now. We're like, 12 days out from the first preseason game. So be sure to tune back in later in the week. Again, a reminder, daily, Monday through Friday here at Locked on Wolves. All right. So the Wolves did add somebody to the training camp roster. And it's a name that you know, wasn't really on our radar, or I guess I speak for myself, wasn't on my radar as a possibility to join the team. And that's Tyler Cook, former Denver Nugget, former Cleveland Cavalier, and former Iowa Hawkeye. Tyler Cook is 6'8". He's a combo forward, plays both the three and the four, played a lot of three in his limited NBA action last year, but he's probably more of a four in terms of the way he plays and his athletic profile. He's got kind of this more bruising game. He's a decent rebounder, solid rebounder for his size. He's built well for being 6'8". He's got some strength to him. His wingspan is just over 7 feet. So he's 6'8" with a 7 foot wingspan. And if you watch any of his, I guess, highlights from the G League last year, which was split in a couple different places. He started the year on a two-way deal with the Nuggets, was let go. He signed on with the Cavs and played with them for a while, was traded in the G League to the Oklahoma City Blue, the Thunder's G League team, and then joined the Nuggets in the bubble actually as a substitute player when they had a bunch of injury issues leading into the playoffs. And so he's got numbers from last year in a couple G League spots, a couple of stops in the NBA, and he was a three-year player at Iowa before coming out prior to his senior season. His game is all pretty much in the paint. He doesn't really have much of a jumper. He kind of stays within himself, knows his game in that sense, but he runs the floor fairly well. And again, has a thicker build, which is a strong build, which will work as far as rebounding at the NBA level, scoring in the paint, you know, getting once he's at the rim, finishing through contact, all those things. But he has limited post moves, but again, not something the Wolves are going to do much of. He's more of kind of a cutter, kind of a screen and roll type guy. If you dump the ball off to him, he knows what to do with it. He can dribble a little bit. He can handle a little bit on the perimeter, but he doesn't have a perimeter jumper. So he's kind of more in that, he's not as big as a Jared Vanderbilt, but more in that defense rebounding, dunking type mold, big athletic wing who in theory should be able to guard the three and the four. But again, 6'8" with a 7 foot wingspan, that matters. That's good. And it falls in line with what the Wolves are looking for. In 29 G League games last year, 22 with Canton and 7 with Oklahoma City, he averaged 13 points, 12.9 points, just under 6 rebounds. So basically 13-6 from the field, shot just under 58% from the field. Did not shoot the ball well from the free throw line, but pretty limited attempts there. And was about 60% from the line, but 13-6 in 21 minutes a game is pretty good production for a guy that I think was playing mostly the four at the G League level. In his limited NBA time last year, and this is a total of, he played 11 games with the Cavs and 2 with the Nuggets, mostly garbage time. He only got into 13 NBA games, 4 minutes a game. He attempted 12 shots and made 8 of them. So again, all around the rim, doesn't have a 3-point shot. At Iowa, he was a really good player for 3 years and came out early, but was not drafted. He averaged his senior year 14.5 points and 7.5 rebounds and shot 51% from the field. His junior year was actually a little bit better, both in terms of volume and efficiency, but basically a 3-year starter at Iowa. And again, can guard two positions, or at least two positions in the three and the four. So probably it's a training camp contract. This was reported, I should say, it was at Real GM and then reported by Keith Smith of Yahoo. But it's another player with positional versatility, defensive versatility, switchability that can be there in training camp, be a 17th or 18th guy. Remember, they've still got an open roster spot, so, and a two-way spot. So assuming Jordan McLaughlin comes back, maybe Cook plays well enough to get a two-way role for the Wolves. The other two-way player is Ashton Higgins, a point guard. So they could use some more front court slash wing depth. And this is another one of those players in the mold of, say, a Jake Lehman, who can play both roles. He's a different player than Jake Lehman, but can play the four, can play the three. The Wolves are trying to accumulate as many of those guys as possible that can defend multiple positions. And so this fits in line with that. And is another former Nugget that the Wolves have acquired. So we'll see if he sticks through training camp, if he sticks on a two-way deal or something like that. But notable that they brought in another player with a little bit of experience and just a little bit of upside as well, with the potential to break onto an NBA roster here moving forward. All right, I want to talk about the trade market and one player in particular who is involved in this fake trade from Bleacher Report as a potential trade target for the Wolves. And if that was the case, I'd be shocked if they could get this player. But it would certainly be an upgrade at power forward. So I want to talk about that potential trade, to be clear, a fake trade that I think would be fun to try and pursue here in just a moment. All right, before we talk fake trades, make sure to listen to Locked On NBA on Mondays. Josh Lloyd, host of our wildly popular Locked On Fantasy Basketball, takes you around the NBA's major headlines with the help of our local experts. Subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast today, wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, if you've been with us much over the past few months, we obviously had a lot of time the Wolves haven't played since March, which now is quickly approaching a full 9 months ago. We've spent a lot of time talking about fake trades and kind of playing out different scenarios here on the podcast. And there's been a number of sites that have helped us out with that, with some great pieces about, you know, one trade for every team, or one superstar to target, or one role player to target, all that stuff that's out there in the blogosphere. Bleacher Report has done a bunch of this, as they always do. And this is Greg Swartz, who is one of their main writers for this type of content. He did one potential trade for every team. Everyone knows the Wolves are looking for an upgrade at the four. The Wolves re-signed Juancho Hernan Gomez to a 3-year deal, 2 years plus a team option, $7 million per on average, so maybe a little rich. Behind him, though, you're talking Ed Davis, who's probably going to play a lot of five, Naz Reid, who's mostly ideally a five, and then Jared Vanderbilt, who's only played in 28 NBA games in his 2-year career so far. Jaden McDaniels isn't going to be relied upon at all. He's a rookie. Jake Lehman could play some four, but you don't have anybody where you're like, okay, plug and play. He's the four long term. This is the answer. Or even clearly starting caliber. I think Hernan Gomez can be a starting caliber four on a playoff team. I do think he needs a little bit. He hasn't gotten enough opportunity to prove that. And I think he's a bit underrated as a defender. I think if they can get him to rebound a little bit more, to be consistent defensively, I think he'll be fine. But it doesn't mean the Wolves, we all know Gerson Rosas is always trying to upgrade the roster, as he should be. And there's a couple of guys out there that they could target. One is, and this is according to Greg Swartz at Bleacher Report, that the Wolves should target TJ Warren, who is, of course, a forward with the Pacers, spent most of his career with Phoenix. And the proposed trade for TJ Warren here, I don't think there's any chance the Pacers would do this, unless I'm completely missing something. I don't know why they would. I guess contract, he's still got 2 years left on a significant contract. But the proposed deal here from Bleacher Report is Jarrett Culver and Jake Lehman for TJ Warren. This works from a salary perspective. The Wolves would take on a little bit more salary, but looking at TJ Warren's deal, we'll start with this part of it before we get to the actual analysis of the players. TJ Warren's owed just under $11.8 million this year and then about $12.7 million next year. So he's got 2 years left on the extension he signed in Phoenix. He was traded to Indiana last offseason and had, I would say the best year of his career with the Pacers. Continues to be a solid defender at multiple positions. Averaged effectively 20 points a game last year, which he did a couple of years ago with Phoenix for a bad Suns team, but he averaged 19.8 points per game. Only 4.2 rebounds a game, but he shot over 40% from three for the second year in a row, averaged 3.5 three attempts per game, and was a 67-game starter in a shortened season, started every game he played in for a 45-win Pacers team that surprised a lot of people. They were ultimately swept in the first round of the playoffs by Miami. But unless I'm missing something, I don't know why the Pacers would be motivated to do this unless they feel like they need more wing depth, want to take a flyer on a guy with upside like Jarrett Culver, and Jake Lehman can plug in and be a rotational guy. But Culver or Lehman are nowhere near as good as TJ Warren. And Lehman's contract is fine. It's a good contract for what a healthy Jake Lehman should be able to provide. But you can't plug him in as a surefire starter on a playoff team. He's more of a rotational guy that can play the four, play the three, and do those things. Jarrett Culver is not a rotational player given what he provided last year on a playoff team. The hope is that he could be a starting caliber player or better if he realizes his potential. But the Pacers are a playoff team. They're not exactly like tearing down and rebuilding. I get that they have a new coach now and moved on from Nate McMillan, but the roster is largely the same. I guess you figure they're going to move on from Oladipo either during the season or after the season. Miles Turner is always discussed as a possible trade target. So I guess if they're looking at a mini rebuild type, I don't know why you would though. I mean, they just acquired Malcolm Brogdon, who's getting paid a bunch of money, and Domantas Sabonis is really good. I mean, like, I don't know what the motivation here would be for the Pacers. And Swartz doesn't really go through this other than saying Culver gives the Pacers a young wing with upside who showed promise on both ends of the ball during his rookie season. I think Wolves fans would argue that Culver didn't show a whole lot of promise offensively. Obviously, he's still got upside there, and it all has to do with his jumper. But his feel was also concerning as a rookie, too. We've talked about that a bunch here on the show. So, at any rate, Warren for the Wolves, though, is a fantastic target. And I guess maybe if there's a future pick thrown in or something, you can convince the Pacers to do this. So, to be clear, this is not my trade idea. I love TJ Warren as a trade target. I just don't know. And one of the reasons we haven't talked about him is it's unclear why the Pacers would be motivated at all to move TJ Warren. But anyways, 27-year-old who averaged 20 points a game last year and shot over 40% from three, almost 41% on catch and shoot three-pointers, 40.8%. And from the floor shot 54% last year. And a good defender would be a dream fit for the Timberwolves. He could start at the four. He could slide to the three if they play big. He could start at the three if they wanted to do that. That's mostly what he played last year for the Pacers. I don't know that you want him, but I mean, he fits that Robert Covington-esque profile as a small ball type four, which is becoming common enough. It's I don't even know that it's necessary to call it small ball four anymore, but I mean, that's the type of player that Gerson Rosas and Ryan Saunders likely want to plug in at the four. Is a player like TJ Warren who, again, fits that Covington mold. Defensively, if you want to look at different defensive metrics, the real plus minus metric over at ESPN, which I think does a pretty good job if you're going to pick any individual stat to estimate defensive impact, TJ Warren last year was ninth among players listed at small forward in defensive real plus minus, slightly ahead of Kawhi Leonard, slightly ahead of Jimmy Butler. So again, you know, no one metric can truly capture this, but it gives you a sense, you know, just behind Tony Snell, Royce O'Neal, OG Anunoby, all guys who everybody knows are good perimeter defenders, but ahead of Leonard, ahead of Butler, ahead of Mikal Bridges, players like that who have stellar to solid, at least defensive reputations. And, that's TJ Warren. He can guard multiple positions, the three and the four very well, switchable onto other players in addition to that. So, I look at this as, yes, he's an outstanding trade target for the Timberwolves. No, I don't think they're going to be able to get him from the Pacers, and especially not just for Jarrett Culver and Jake Lehman. We know that Culver has some trade value because the Hawks, among other teams, were reportedly more than willing to discuss Culver plus the 17 pick for the Wolves to trade up. Ultimately, the Wolves decided to hang on to Culver because they only wanted to use him in a trade if they could acquire a star caliber or at least starting caliber player. And this would be the type of move. If I'm the Wolves and if the Pacers are on board with this, you make this move in a heartbeat. A Timberwolves starting lineup with Ricky Rubio and D'Angelo Russell in the backcourt, you know, TJ Warren and whether it's Anthony Edwards or Josh Okogie on the wing and Karl-Anthony Towns at the five. And now you have Hernan Gomez coming off the bench. It improves your depth in that sense. I guess you lose Lehman, but, I mean, that's a starting lineup depending on what you're getting out of your fifth starter, whether it's Okogie or Edwards. That's a starting lineup with upside on offense, clear upside on offense. And you have in Rubio and Warren, two above average defenders to pair with two below average defenders in Towns and Russell. That's a lineup you can now start talking about being potentially able to squeeze into the 9 or 10 seed and at least be in the play-in to get into the playoffs. You know, now we're talking instead of the 14th or 13th best team in the West, we're talking the 12th, 11th, you know, you're starting to get into that playoff conversation, provided you get relative health and improvement from Towns and Russell. So that's the sort of move you make if you're the Timberwolves. You turn Culver into 2 years of TJ Warren, if you can at this stage, if that's a possibility. So something to keep an eye on. Don't get too excited about it though. I don't know that that's, in fact, I'm pretty sure it's not terribly likely to go down, but for the record, I'm on board if something like that were to happen. All right, that's all we have for you today here on the show. Of course, we'll be back tomorrow on Tuesday. The schedule should be out any day now, so we'll definitely talk through highlights of the schedule once that comes out, and then also anything that comes out of Timberwolves training camp, which kicks off this week. Any additional roster additions, we're waiting on Jordan McLaughlin news. They've still got one open spot, one open two-way as well. So we'll obviously keep a finger on the pulse of that and be with you throughout the week. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.